1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 12 to 20 this morning, picking up where we left off. As you think about this passage, as we prepare to read it and begin to meditate on it and hear it proclaimed and preached and all these things, reflect back on what we just sang. We are to walk by faith. That's our call as God's people. How in the world are we to walk by faith through this world? Well, the passage says, we'll fix our eyes on Him who is our soul's reward. I hope we sang that over and over. Man, that just speaks volume to me. That's the only way I can walk by faith and not by sight, is I fix my eyes on Christ as my reward. You know, I just don't do it as, well, yeah, fix my eyes on Christ. No, He's got to be my reward in my heart. And when I do that, then I can walk by faith. Because the call to faith calls us to die to self, to die to flesh, to die to this world. No way we're going to do that unless we see Christ as our reward. Reflect on that as we think about God's Word coming to us this morning. And again, remember, as we worship in the Word, how do we give worship? We give ourselves. We give our hearts and minds to the Word of truth. Say, God, speak to me and let me submit myself to this. Help me to hear Your truth and to take it in and to walk by faith in it. Right? That is to hear You, see You as my reward, and then to walk obedient in it, trusting You. What's God have to say to us this morning? Beginning in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and stomach's for food, but God will do away with both of them. Yet, the body is not for immorality, but for the Lord. The Lord is for the body. Now, God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through His power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? May it never be. Or do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? For he says the two will become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You, the God of all creation. Again, the one who reigns supreme on His throne, the one who is holy and completely not like us. We are Your creation. Even though we have rebelled against You and gone astray, You've loved us so much that You saved us. And You did that salvation by paying a great price. The blood of Your own Son poured out Your wrath upon Him for our sins so that we could be set free. Free in Christ. Well, Lord, teach us today what it means to be free in Christ. Teach us what it's not. Lord, I pray You would cause our hearts and minds to be submitted to Your Word this morning. That You, by the power of Your Spirit, would illuminate Your Word within us. You allow Your Word to come in and, Lord, not just to be put away in our bag of seed. And we agree with it mentally, so we think we have faith. No, Lord, I pray You would cause that seed to sprout, to bear fruit, by causing the light of Your Word to shine in every part of our life. Even those parts, Lord, that we just don't want to give up. We've all got them. We all hold tightly to these things and desires for self. The things that are neutral. Oh, Lord, show us there's no such thing. There's either You or there's us. I pray, Lord, you would put us to death. Each and every one of us that are yours, and that's the only way we can be truly unified in Christ. We have to die. All these things that we love in our heart and mind that compete against you, oh, they must die. And you must live within us. The more that takes place, the more we will be one in you, and the more you will be glorified. The more we will love you, and the more we will love each other, and the world will know and believe that you have sent Christ into the world to save sinners. Lord, you tell us this in your word. We know this is your prayer to make us one, so I pray by the power of Jesus' name you would do that this morning. You just take us another step in that sanctification process by teaching us in your word what you want us to do, how you want us to live. Lord, we are not our own. Help us to put away that lie. We are not our own. We are yours. Called to submit to you in every single way. Well, Lord, I never want to hear the word for myself or any of these people that are here today. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I do? Depart from me, for I never knew you. Lord, bring us into the submission of the truth of your word this morning. Show us what you have for us. And help us to trust that it is what's best. This means the lies of the enemy, the lies of the world, and the lies of our flesh have to be put to death. Help us to put away the lie. Believe the truth of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. May we know this. May this word dwell richly in us, your people. Oh God, glorify yourself. Bring glory to your name by causing your word to make us into your people. This is a work we ask that the Holy Spirit would do within us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Christian liberty. Christian liberty, or freedom in Christ. This is a subject that the Apostle Paul taught often on in the churches when he was being used by God to plant these churches. Because the Judaizers were very active in the churches he would plant, and they were always trying to teach the Gentiles to come under the law, Paul was always teaching against that by teaching about freedom in Christ. The truth is, as he would speak, is that salvation is by grace alone, and that salvation is kept by grace alone. A person is not saved by the works of law, but he's saved by the works of Christ. So because of that, a Christian's truly free from the law. There's no threat of the penalty of the law upon a Christian. So technically speaking, there's not a sin that a Christian can commit that would forfeit his salvation. That's been taken care of in eternity, forever. So Christians are free in Christ. They have liberty. This is something Paul often taught. No doubt the Corinthians heard this teaching often. But apparently, the Corinthians took this glorious doctrine of the truth that we are free in Christ, and they began to use it as an excuse to indulge in sin. Specifically, as we see in our text, they used it to indulge in the sin of sexual immorality. So even though they heard the teaching of the freedom in Christ and they ran with it, they did not heed the warning that Paul would always give with it. And that's, do not use your freedom, right, as an opportunity for the flesh. That's what the Corinthians had done. So because of this, the Apostle Paul has to address this issue. They're missing it again. They're seeing things wrong. They're not thinking rightly. They're not thinking according to the word of truth. They're thinking half rightly, taking a word of truth and kind of using it for their own gain. So Paul has to address it. He has to speak against the wrong thinking. And he does that here in our passage. And he does that here by giving us what I would call one general principle for Christian liberty. one overriding principle for how to live out your Christian liberty in your life. And then after that, in order to address specifically the sin of sexual immorality that was going on in some of the Corinthians apparently, Paul's going to give us here five reasons why sexual immorality should never be a part of the Christian's life. Now, as we go through these, I want you to consider that these things are very relevant. They're very relevant. Why? Well, because this idea of Christian liberty and the abuse of it is just as common today as it was in Paul's day, especially in Reformed circles. So these things are very relevant to us and needed so we can form a right thinking of how to live out freedom in Christ. So we're going to do that by going through, as you can imagine, this principle and then these five reasons. But now I warn you, today, we're not getting them all. We're doing the principle. That's where we're at. One thing, one point. The general principle for how to live out Christian liberty in your life. You're saved, you're free. That's true. Your salvation is by grace. It's been, from eternity past, settled. But then how do you live that out? How do we live that out? That's the principle. Well, here's the principle, all right? When living out our Christian liberty, we are to seek that which profits us spiritually, not simply that which is allowable in the flesh. We are to seek that which will profit us spiritually, not simply that which is allowable in the flesh. We'll be looking at verses 12 through the first half of verse 13. Let me read that again. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Food is for the stomach, and the stomach is for food, but God will do away with both of them. Now, as we start here, Paul says, right, all things are lawful for me. And then you quickly see that he repeats it. Just right halfway through the verse. All things are lawful for me. Many commentators believe that this was a saying that the Corinthians would use with each other. Right? Whenever question about things they might be doing, well, all things are lawful for me. Right? So there's nothing that can be used against me. So the belief is that this was a saying and Paul just used it to make his point. Was this a saying they used? We don't know. We can't know that for sure. Either way, Paul's saying very clearly here that all things are lawful for him. In other words, again, Paul's saying, I'm in Christ. Because I'm in Christ, I am secure. He knew his security of salvation in him. So therefore, technically speaking, there's nothing off. All things are lawful. But notice he didn't just say all things are lawful and then just drop it. As if to say, all things are lawful for me, so let your heart do what it desires. Go after it. No, he attaches this all things are lawful for me with not one but two contrary statements to help guide us in what this means. And the first one is this, simply this, all things are lawful for me, but what? Not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Now, by profitable, he means those things which are good are beneficial to him. Now, as you think about that, what would Paul consider to be profitable in his life? What would he consider to be good or beneficial to him? Well, we should know from his own writings throughout the New Testament that what Paul saw as beneficial to him and as profitable were those things that were spiritual in nature. Those things which build up the spiritual man, which would give him more of Christ in his life. All we have to do, we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, and Paul talks about bodily discipline. He said, you know, that's of a little bit of profit. He uses that word. He said, but oh, godliness is of much profit. That's what's profitable. Go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. You'll hear, he says, but whatever things were gained to me, profit, those things I have counted as loss for what? For the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish in order that I might gain Christ. From that verse alone, you can say, well, what did Paul consider profitable? What did Paul consider the greatest of profit, of gain, of benefit? It was Jesus. Knowing Jesus. Communing with Jesus. Being with, having more of Jesus, spiritually speaking, that was the things that Paul saw as profitable. So you put that together with what he says here, and he says, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. What's he saying? Well, what's he saying here is that, technically speaking, even though all things are lawful for me, that should not be the only question that you ask yourself in order to determine what you would do and what you don't do. Instead, you should seek out that which will profit you spiritually speaking. So when you're faced with a decision in this realm of Christian liberty, which is big, right? The realm of Christian liberty is a big realm. When faced with the decision, shall I do this, shall I not do this, you don't just go, is this lawful, but is this profitable? And is it profitable, is that going to get me more Jesus? Is that going to build up the spiritual man within me? Now, I'm telling you, this is important for us to grab a hold of. Because there is no doubt that we all struggle with this to some level. No doubt. Myself included. Oh, this sermon, the Lord's wore me out all week over this. He says, if you can preach this as true, you better start living this a little more faithfully. We all struggle on some level. Why? Because here's the reality. When we're faced with these decisions, the question that we want to ask and that we ask is this lawful? And what we mean by that is this allowable? Is this okay for me to do? Does this cross the line? You know, we ask that question. And then if we get an affirmative, no, it's fine, then that's all we ask. And then we go headlong into it, right? Because that's what we desire. But Paul's saying, oh no, that should not be what motivates you. What should motivate you is, what's going to profit you? That should be the question we ask. Is this going to profit me in the realm of my Christianity, in the realm of Christ, in the realm of being built up spiritually speaking? That should be the guiding principle for us. Not, is it okay? Will this profit me? Now, in order to understand this more fully, we have to understand, the harm that comes to us when we don't live by this principle. We are fooled and deceived into thinking that many things are what we call neutral, and they won't hurt us either way. But I'm here to break the news to you that it's not true. This guiding principle must be there, because if we don't live by it, we're going to harm ourselves and we don't even know it. In other words, when we don't consider this and we just choose things by is it allowable, we're going to bring spiritual harm on ourselves every time. Now, this should be easy to see. When we are faced with the decision, should I do this or should I not? And the alternative is this sinful? We should see that if we choose sin, it's going to bring harm on us. Now, sin promises profit, or we wouldn't do it. Sin always promises some kind of payoff. But we as a Christian should be, if I choose sin, this is actually in the end going to bring harm to me. At the very least, it's going to bring a great diminishing in our intimacy with Christ. At the very least, it's going to bring a great diminishing in our intimacy and fellowship with the body of Christ. In the very least, it's going to bring a great quenching of the reality of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our life. And then in addition to that, what we don't see and don't understand is when we choose sin, we're going to bring pain and affliction in ourselves mentally, emotionally, and yes, physically. Sin harms us in many ways we don't understand. Depression is often a result of sin in our life. Not all oppression is a result of sin, but sin often brings great depression, and we wonder why. Sin, it brings great harm. So we should see that if we're ever given that choice of, well, I'm free in Christ, I can do whatever. No, you're bringing great harm on yourself. Even if you are one of the redeemed, that is a path of harm. Is that going to profit me? Oh, no, that's going to harm me. But what I want you to get, hopefully you're there already. If you're not, let that guide you. But hear me, what I want you to see is we got to get past that. And we got to get to those decisions where, okay, it's not sinful. That's not a sin. But even though it may not be a sin, what we consider neutral, it's still going to harm us, spiritually speaking. Well, how's that? How does that work? Well, it works like this. If we're faced with a decision, shall I do this, right? And all we do is, well, is that allowable? And we say, oh, yeah, it's allowable. Let me do it. Then I want you to understand that we're basing that decision in what? The flesh. We're basing that decision based on self. That's what I want. It's my desire. That's what my flesh wants. And understand, every decision that we make according to the desire of self and the desire of flesh, that's your only alternative. Understand that. You're either choose, I want Christ, or it's me. It's me versus Christ. That's always. And when we're thinking, well, that's neutral, but I'm not really thinking about Jesus in this moment. This is just about me. We are actually strengthening the fleshly man. But what's that matter? Well, if you go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, you'll find out that the fleshly man and the spiritual man are always at war with each other. They battle each other constantly. One is always seeking to gain control over the other. So if you're in the practice of strengthening the fleshly man, guess who you're strengthening? The enemy that dwells within you, who wants nothing to do with Christ. And then, before you know it, as you've been living out these things that are neutral, you now want to come in and begin to follow Christ in certain ways, and all of a sudden you find yourself in that place that I often talk about, that ship's out on the ocean, and you're trying to turn it around, and you can't, because it's so heavy, you just don't understand what's going on. Spiritually speaking, you can't engage. Why can't I come in and worship? Why can't I pray? Why can't I get in the Word? Why can't I lead my family? Why can't I do it? Because you've been feeding the wrong man. And you have harmed yourself, spiritually speaking, and you don't even know it. We should be asking ourselves, is this going to profit me? Not, is this allowable? Because if it's just allowable, it's about me. This is why it matters. We ask the question always, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because the answer to that question can often be the determining factor to your spiritual health. Why am I doing what I'm doing? And these decisions, this realm of Christian liberty, and asking this question, you don't understand how big this is. This should get down into basic everyday decisions, even what we eat and drink. Really? Well, what are you basing it on? Why am I eating what I'm eating? We don't want to go there. Obviously, Paul had it in mind. In the same breath that he talks about what is lawful and what is profitable, he talks about food in the stomach. Obviously, it's on his mind. Now, we'll get into next week a little more specifics as to what he's talking about, because he's going to use it as a transition, right, to go from the general to now to specifically using Christian liberty for sin. To see, in general speaking, that food, even the basic everyday, what do I eat and what I drink, is down in this area of Christian liberty. What's going to profit me? Is that what we live our life by? That's what we should live our life by. Otherwise, we're bringing harm to self. Now, in case you're still maybe wondering, what's that look like? Let me give you just a couple of examples from my own life, okay? And I'll try to get some qualifying statements these, because we can go all kinds of places in our mind and heart with these. And I'm going to try to wall it in so we know where I'm going here, where we're going, where the Lord wants us to go. Let me give you a couple of examples. Let me go in the realm of entertainment. Ooh, it's a big one. Christian liberty. Right? Entertainment. We've got a movie that we're faced with. Should I watch this movie or should I not? Right? What do we usually ask? Is it okay to watch this movie? Right? What do we mean by, is it allowable? Does it go too far? It shouldn't be what we ask, right? Should be going, will this profit me? And by profit me, is it going to be a benefit to me, spiritually speaking? Now, if it's a movie, I'm just going to tell you straight out, if it's a movie full of sinful behavior, you know, pornography, full of cursing, full of horrible violence, I would hope we'd be to the point where we could see, that's not going to profit me. It's going to harm me at the very least. It's going to cause me to be desensitized to the sin that I'm watching and exposing my mind to. It's going to cause me to actually begin to empathize with it. We don't know this, maybe, but this is what it does. Maybe, oh, that won't affect me. I can watch anything and it has no effect on me. I think that is being spiritually naive at best, spiritually prideful at worst. Pride always comes before a fall. So we got to consider, is that profitable? Hopefully we can see. Just exposing myself to sin should not be profitable. But now we got to go past that. We don't just ask, all right, if it's full of sin, okay, hopefully we can see that step. But what if it's not? What if it's one of the, oh, it's just neutral, right? Then we got to ask ourselves, we got to go past, well, okay, it's neutral, it should be fine for me. But no, we got to ask, is this profitable for me? Lord, is this going to, can it be used by you to build the spiritual man in me somehow? I can't answer the question for you in that, but that should be the question that we should be asking ourselves rather than, you know, is it okay just to entertain myself and for 2 hours and indulge the desires of the flesh to be entertained? Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? Now, I can't get into the, it's all going to look different for us. Hear me. When we're engaging in our Christian liberty and we're making these decisions, right? I'm not talking about all your decisions should look like mine and all yours should look like each other. No, we're not looking at each other. We're not doing that. When you're living this out rightly, it's just you and the Lord, and you got to go, is this profitable for me? And you should make these decisions based on, will it profit me in my walk with you, Lord? Not, is this okay so I can indulge the flesh? You see the difference? This is meddling, isn't it? I know. Let me give you another example. It's also in the area of entertainment, but what I want to use this is because it shows you how this has to be used in your parenting as well, if you have children still under your authority. It's the area of video games. And I know all the kids and teenagers are crying out inside, oh no, he's going to talk about the evils of video games. If only he was young like me to understand the grand benefits of video games. Listen, I was alive when video games were birthed. I saw Pong and I played it. Right? I saw it all. I saw Pac-Man and Donkey Kong when they first came out, and I played them and I enjoyed them. Understand, I've seen this evolution of video games for years and decades, and I've seen this monster that it's grown into, to the point that there's not a home I know of where the children aren't wanting to play video games, especially boys. You young men, it really comes after you. And what I mean by they desire to play them is they desire to give hours and hours and hours to the playing of video games. And so the question as a parent that I'm faced with, as they desire this, is not, is it allowable? Is it okay? Because technically speaking, some video games do contain a lot of sinful behavior. That, again, that should be fairly easy to see. No. But let's just say there are all these neutral video games out there. Do I just allow it to happen? That's not the question. The question is this profitable for me? Is this profitable for them? And for me, in my decision before the Lord, I can't find a profitable reason. Not very many. And so because of that, I've made the decision for my children to limit their time greatly and only allow certain things. That's where I'm at. Why? It'd be easier for me in my flesh, believe me, to just allow them to do it because I don't want the incessant battle that takes place. Right? Children's hearts want them for a reason. Understand that, parents. And they come after it. So I'd rather just, what's the harm? And let it go. But I can't because I have this care for the spiritual soul of my children. Like, that's not beneficial. Matter of fact, I know from experience it can be very harmful. Moods and attitudes and all kinds of things, like coming off drugs. And I'm not kidding. So I have to think about all those things. And not only that is it profitable, it's not profitable for me because if I just allow it to happen, then I'm not actually seeking the Lord and my profitability as a father carrying out my responsibility before Him. I'm just letting it happen. And that harms me spiritually because I'm just going with the flow. Now again, this is one of those areas where I'm not saying everything's got to look like me and you've got to look like each other. You're not looking at each other. This is not about each other. This is about you and the Lord. Is it profitable for me with you, Lord? And is this profitable for my children, those who are under my care? Anybody's under your care, you've got to make these decisions. And the reason should be, is it profitable? Is it good for them, eternally, spiritually speaking? This is the principle we should be living out our life by. And again, it's got to be worked out in all these different areas that we got to be thinking this. And well, should I eat this? Should I drink that? Should I go on that trip? Should I watch this? Should I not watch? All these questions that we ask all the time. This is the principle we see that we should be living by. Not, is it lawful? Is it allowable? But what will profit me? This is why it's so important. I believe that it is imperative that we should, as a people, memorize this half a verse. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. And as we put this word in our heart and mind, oh, how can a man keep his way pure before you, O Lord? By hiding your word in my heart. So you put this word in your heart, and then you let this begin to rule your thinking. And so it's there when you make these decisions, you have this word of truth that comes and informs you and goes, is this profitable? This is what it looks like for the word of Christ to dwell richly in you. To dwell richly in you. Now, again, I'm not, as I alluded to earlier, I'm not saying that I've got this all worked out. I don't. It became very apparent since I've lived walking out the week under this word of truth. For every decision in my life that the Lord, by grace, has opened my eyes to actually ask the question, is this profitable for my walk with you, Lord? There's probably 100 more that I'm blind to, that I'm just making in the moment. But the hope is to be sanctified this and come after more, come after more, come after more. Is this profitable? There's one more point about this specific half of verse I want to make. Typically speaking, and I know I'd have to address this, typically speaking, this is taught, no matter if it's me or anybody, somebody begins to teach according to this kind of truth and living your life this way, you get this kind of resistance from Christian brothers and sisters and this kickback, and they say, that's legalism. That's legalistic. That's judgmental. What are you doing? Now listen, this can very easily go into legalism. And if you've been hearing me, I've been warning against that the whole time. Because where it goes into legalism is when a community begins to go, okay, all these decisions, here's the decisions you have to make in all these situations. And it's what it looks like to be right. Right? And you don't hear me say that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying this is a decision before you and the Lord. It would also be legalism if I were to say, you know, your favor before God rests in this. Your standing with God rests in you making this. No, hear me, you're free in Christ. Hear me, I'm not teaching legalism at all. You are free in Christ. Your status with Him never changes. His love for you never changes. Here's what I'm trying to tell you because I love you. Your decisions in all these matters will determine your spiritual well-being and your walk with Him throughout this world. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's not legalism. That's love for you and telling you, I don't want you to just give away half your life to the feeding of the flesh and your fleshly desires rather than getting more of Jesus. This is what I want for you. This is all I'm telling you. I'm not looking at your life going, are you making the same decisions on video games that I am? Are you doing this is between you and the Lord. But my call to you is, how do you make those decisions? Are you making them out of, is it allowable? And I want to, so if it's okay, I can do it. Or is it profitable for me spiritually speaking? That's the call. And listen, the reason we resist this, and I put me in the category, when we hear this, is because in the moment, we just really don't believe that getting more Jesus in every situation is what we really need or would want. We really believe that whatever this thing is we want to do is what's best for us. we really don't believe in the surpassing value of knowing Christ in any and every situation. We live a lot like that man that I witnessed to, that you've heard me say many times. Not at the fair. I like Jesus. I want to talk about Jesus, but not at the fair. Why not at the fair? Because right now the fair, me indulging in fair activities, is more important than Jesus. And that's what we do. Well, yeah, but not there. Not in that area of my life. Right? Does everything have to be about Jesus? What I want you to see is that, oh, how glorious it is when everything is about Jesus. Jesus has to be the surpassing value of your heart and mind. This is what I'm exhorting and calling you to, and I'm calling myself to it. Because as I'm meditating on this word all week long, I'm seeing these areas in my life where I'm going, am I even considering you, Lord? I know this is true, and I want, help me. I believe. Help my unbelief. So hear me. This is not about legalism. It's not about making people look alike. It's not about you worrying about what your elder thinks or each other thinks. Right? This is where we go. So I'm trying to fence it in. No. No. What's the word of truth say? All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. So what? Seek what's profitable in your life. That's what matters. That's what matters. When we live that, we'll live free from each other. You can do what you want. I'll exhort you to Christ, but that's between you and the Lord. And it doesn't bother me. Right? It's not about me then. You eat what you want to eat, and I'll eat what I want to eat. And if it's for Christ, praise God, we got Him together. You what? All the same things. One more thing, right? I alluded to it way back. There's actually two contrary statements in this passage, right? Not only all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. He also says, well, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. What's Paul saying there? We're saying the same thing in a different way, and he's giving us an added dimension to it. He's saying, okay, yeah, technically speaking, all things are lawful, but that doesn't mean I should just choose things because I can. Actually, if you do that, you're becoming a slave. You understand that's what he's saying. Here's what we don't get, right? When we just do things based on self and the flesh and desires of the flesh, we are submitting ourselves to that desire. And whatever we submit ourselves to is our master. That's just plain and simple. And Paul's saying, not me, buddy. You live that way if you want, but I will not be mastered by anything but Christ, because He's the only one that's worthy of that place in my life. Jesus alone will be my man. I won't be mastered by anything. Not my stomach. Nothing. Only you, Christ. That's who will be my master. We must understand the importance of this. We become slaves to whatever we submit to. And we all know there's desires that we all have that we just jump headlong into and we don't even think. We're becoming slaves. And remember, freedom in Christ is what? Freedom from sin and freedom to pursue righteousness, not the opposite. That's what Paul's saying. Now, to live this way is not easy. It's hard. Paul himself said, right, I have to buffet my body to live this way. You know, what do you mean by that? You know, that word buffet means to beat up, like black and blue. What's he saying? He's saying, in order to keep my body and my flesh from enslaving me, I have to beat it up and make it a slave to Christ. He's talking spiritually speaking. So he's saying, I've got to walk in great discipline here and refusing to allow myself to come under submission of my body so that I don't become disqualified. Disqualified from salvation? No. Disqualified from being a servant of Christ in the way that He is, in the glory of God and in the kingdom. He's saying, so I got to beat up the body so I can be able to live this way. But believe me, this is the only way to live. That's what he's saying. I won't be mastered by anything. Jesus alone stands in that place. Jesus alone is the one worthy of such submission. I'll close with this question to you. I'm sure the Holy Spirit, if He's there, He's been getting you there all the whole time. But, you know, how do you live your life? How do you live your Christian liberty out? How do you make the choices you make? What do you consider? Do you consider, is this allowable? Is this okay? Is this crossing the line? No, okay. I give into it. Or do you consider, is this going to profit me? Is this going to get me more of you, Jesus? Because, Jesus, you're the only one worthy of having. Keeping our eyes fixed on the prize, that's the only way we're going to be able to live this out. Is Jesus that which is of surpassing value to you? My prayer is that Jesus will become more and more that in all our lives. None of us are there, brothers and sisters. I confess I'm there probably further away than any of you, maybe. But my prayer and call is for all of us to pursue Christ in this way. Because this is what's good for us, and this is what will bring glory to God. This is the word of truth. Not my word, His word. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that You, by the power of Your Spirit, would get us all where we need to be. And I know You will. You love Your people. You'll sanctify us all. You'll make us more like Christ. So that when we see Him in that day, we will not be ashamed. We'll look more and more like Him. Father, to get us where we need to be, though, You've got to get us to this place right here in this moment. We will submit ourselves to You and Your Word. And Lord, we're not submitted to what everybody else thinks about our decisions, but what do You think? You know, this is no different than the question, will this glorify You? It's no different. It's just a different way of looking at it. But it is looking at it in a way of thinking, what's good for me? And Lord, the problem is we believe the lie of the enemy that what's good for me is some things besides You. Help us to know truth. And believe truth. And keep it in our minds and hearts. So that it will direct our thinking in the right way. So when we're faced with these questions, we can battle it with the weapons You've given us. And that we will actually walk in a path that's best for us. What's truly profitable, Lord, help us to see this. And walk in it. And may the result of it be that we look more like Christ and You receive the glory. We say we want this. Oh, Lord, You got to do a work in our hearts to make this a true desire. So keep working in us. And I keep praying, Lord, make us one. And the only way we're going to be one is if less and less of us are here and more of You are in us. So that we're a vessel filled by You and Your Spirit, walking and living in Your will. Lord, this is a great work, and we have no power in ourselves to do it, but You do. You have all power. And You accomplish these things for the glory of Your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.